Welcome, everybody, to Health, Wealth, and Divine, also known as Juwanza for Life. My name is Juwanza. Great to have you along with us. As always, just very, very thankful and humbled that you all have taken time out to tune into the show. Very grateful for you all. Grateful, extremely grateful, because, again, I always say it, and I'll say it again, you could be doing something else. And I look at the numbers, you know, on the Blog Talk system, and I see people keep going back and listening to the archives, and I certainly deduce from that you all are enjoying what you're hearing. Well, if you have any suggestions, any feedback, you know, there's a function where you can actually send me a message through Blog Talk, okay, and you can let me know what your thoughts are concerning the show, any guests that you may want to have on as well. Just some feedback would be great, but judging from the numbers, it sounds like you all are really, really enjoying the program, and so I just want to say thank you so much. I encourage everybody, as always, to share the links. It's one thing to like it, it's another thing to share it. If you share it, that's proof that you like it, okay? If you just listen to the show and then you don't share the link, I mean, that's kind of selfish, isn't it? Why not share it, you know? Share it, because we're trying to heal the planet. There are a lot of sick people out here, and there are a lot of people that, believe it or not, haven't heard this information. There are a lot of people out there that don't know any vegetarians. There are truly a lot of people out there that they may have heard of vegetarians and heard of vegans, but you'd be surprised. There are a lot of people out there that don't know any vegans personally, okay? And by sharing this information, we can help that, okay? We can do something about that. So I encourage everybody to share. Well, my special guest today is a regular on Health, Wealth, and Divine. Matter of fact, he was one of the very first people that I started interviewing when I got into the radio broadcasting business. I was very impressed. Everybody was always asking me, because I started asking around. I'd just gotten into radio and doing a holistic health show, and I was asking around, you know, who would be good guests to interview, and this brother's name just kept coming up. Everybody kept asking me, well, have you heard of Brother Coy? Have you heard of Coy Dunstan? And I see now why he came so highly recommended. Everybody was referring me to him. And I see why now, and I've been interviewing him ever since. Well, tonight, he's back. He's going to be my special guest again tonight, and we're going to be talking about leukemia, okay, how you can reverse leukemia. You don't have to live with leukemia. If you have it or you know somebody that has it, definitely call them up, tell them to tune in, because they don't have to live with it, and neither do you if you have it. And if you don't have it, we're going to be talking about how you can prevent it, okay? So my special guest has an awesome, awesome history, and, you know, what brought him to the holistic health field. I mean, just one of those life-changing experiences. A lot of times people encounter what he encountered, and although it changes their life, it changes their life from another perspective. It changes their life because they actually lose somebody, okay? And when you lose somebody, of course, that's going to affect your life. But in this brother's case, he found out that his mother was diagnosed with cancer in both breast, the liver, and the colon, and the result of that was that it changed his life in another way. So I'll let him tell his story. Brother Coy, welcome back to Juwanza for Life, my brother. Always a pleasure to have you, sir. I'm truly honored and blessed to have someone of your caliber to be a regular on the show. Welcome back.
Well, I say good evening to you and your family and your audience. It's good to be back with you. Hopefully we can do some good tonight.
Definitely, my brother. I tell you, every time I talk about you and your testimony, even when I'm sharing it with other people, when we're not on the air, when I'm just personally talking to people and I share your testimony, it's just like one of those, it's a numbing testimony. It's one of those testimonies that just numb you when you hear it, when I even think about it. And if I get numb thinking about it, I can only imagine what that did. It changed your life. It was one of those life-changing experiences for you. And your mother, I'm sure she was like, if you were blown away, if I'm blown away, I know she was blown away.
Yeah. Well, it was a life-changing experience, and it put me on the path that I'm on now. But back in 1980, I was just getting out of law school, and I just wanted to take a break and rest a little bit, and I decided to go home and spend some time with my mom and dad. They were there by themselves, and I thought I'd lift their spirits a bit. But I left and went home that morning, and I got home. My mother was just coming from the doctor, and she said that the doctor told her to go to Duke University as soon as she could because whatever she had, he couldn't do anything with it. So the next morning, my dad and I got up, took her to Duke University, not really knowing what was going on because we didn't have a diagnosis at the time, and we stayed there all day while they ran tests and did what they did. And probably late that evening, they came back and told us that they were going to keep her because they suspected she had cancer of the breast, the colon, and the liver. So that kind of shocked us a little bit and put us in reality that this is serious. So they went on in with their process of diagnosing and treating whatever they could do. For about 3 weeks later, she was in the hospital. They came out and told her that, well, you're going to have to take chemotherapy or get out, basically. And she was quandering about what to do. She asked me, what would I do if I was her? I say, well, I would probably just pack up my stuff and go home and meet my maker. No need to lay around here and wait to die. After we talked about it, she decided to pick up her stuff, and we took her home. And a week or so later, she was not doing much better. She was just getting over the emotional shock, I think, of what she was going through, and felt that, I guess she felt that, why me? And, you know, they go through this deep depression kind of stage and before they decide to get better. But we managed to talk her into whether or not she wanted to live or die, and I told her, you know, I'd do whatever I could. And after that, I felt an obligation to go out and find out as much as I could about what was with her. And I ran into a company called Nature Sunshine, and they were one of the companies at the time, just back in 1980. It wasn't a big thing on the East Coast, but this whole holistic health thing. And I got involved with Nature Sunshine, and I learned as much as I could about disease and disease prevention and what to do about it, and began to apply with my mother. So we got into the fasting, we got into the enemas, we got into the detoxing, all the things that we do. We got into fasting and praying, and began to formulate exactly what we wanted to happen, and put our petition before God, and we went to work. I started using the herbs and the honey and all the things that was available at the time to use. And after about a month or so after she got out of the hospital, I guess, I had become a Nature Sunshine distributor, and they had come out with a product called Podoco, and the information that I had seen on it was saying it was emptying the cancer wards in Mexico. That's where it was basically used initially, and it had raving reviews about all the benefits it had for cancer. So I started applying that, giving that to my mother, and probably in a week or so, she was like a different person. And when she would go back to the doctor, they would say, well, whatever you're doing, keep on doing what you're doing. And we did that, and eventually she went back, and they told her, you know, you can come back if you want to, but you're doing fine on your own. So they were just dumbfounded, as we were, that she was recovering. But situation made me look at my whole extended family, my aunt, my uncles, began to look at their condition, and most of them had some kind of condition, diabetes or and I say, well, what is going on here? Why are we the ones getting all these diseases, and why are we so sick? So we continued the process of working with my mother. She got better. Like I say, they dismissed her from the hospital and gave her a good farewell, and she went on and began to appreciate life and started moving around and even wound up doing some preaching before she died. And she lived 10 years after the diagnosis. She lived 10 years after that, and After that, I was just done. I say, well, I got to do whatever I can to let people know that they don't have to die sick. And that's what I've been doing ever since. And I've been, it's been a rewarding life for me, and I'm certain that I've helped a lot of people through their disease process. And that's why I do what I do today, and that's how I got started in this, and I've been doing it ever since.
You know, brother, you mentioned that she went back to the, where she got into the pulpit and was doing some preaching. I bet would have loved to have gotten them sermons on tape.
Yes,
I would have loved to have heard those sermons, man. Because
yeah,
when
just
somebody
would have been great. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they are somewhere, but it would be great to have that now. Yeah.
Oh man, I can imagine the passion that she spoke with. When you've been through something and you've been brought out, it's different than somebody just, you know, deciding that they want to go into the ministry. But then you've been through, when somebody's been through the fire, they can talk about the fire.
you know what I mean? Yeah.
They can talk about the fire, and they can talk about what it's like coming out of the fire. You know, so I can only imagine that the passion that she preached with was just something to behold. And I know for you, I would imagine that you would have been hailed as a hero in the family. I could imagine everybody just picking you up on their shoulders and walking around with you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
well, that would have been nice, but it wasn't that kind of show. Yeah, that would have been nice. But no, it was, but what did happen, I did begin to work with my brothers and sisters, and they responded quite well. And the ones that did, they are doing quite well now. They're still up and moving around, not too many problems. And if they do have a problem, it don't stay with them. So I don't think
they know where to go.
Yeah. So we keep them up. Yeah.
They know where to go. If something go wrong, they know who to call. And
yes,
you know
sir.
What? Let's talk. Before we get into the leukemia, just, you're the healer in that family, obviously. But just talk about the importance of there being a healer in every family. There should be somebody in the family that knows what to do. Just somebody that is well versed enough in the holistic field to know that you don't have to run to the doctor for everything. That God placed in nature the answer to, you know, all of life's medical conditions. I mean, of course, if you get in a plane crash, that's one thing, or you get hit by a car like I did, that's another. But even if you know what to do, you can speed up the recovery time. Could you talk about just the need for everybody to have at least somebody in the home that knows what to do holistically? Because truth be told, the holistic track record is so much better than the allopathic.
Well, in the old days, it was our grandmothers, grandfathers, and nowadays, we have kind of lost the ability to think for ourselves, and we rely too much on the system that's in front of us, and that's not been good. But even so, I'm certain that there's some people in every family that there's one that'll decide to say, I'm too fat and I'm going to lose weight, and they lose the weight. The rest mm-hmm. of them may follow or may not, but at least there should be an example in every family of what to do to keep yourself fit and healthy. And most of the time, if you work with the family in a way that is, you know, closely with the family, that person will come forward and they'll take on the burden of trying to teach the rest of the family what to do. So it's been rewarding in that respect, and it keeps growing, and I pray that it continues to grow and be a benefit to everyone that listen and try to improve their life and learn how to improve their life and apply it. That's the main thing. Yes.
You definitely are a blessing, Brother Coy. Even in addition to your blood family, your extended family, those of us who love you and listen to your show and, you know, tune in, and the guests, the listeners that tune in. I have regulars on the show, and your numbers are high. I mean, people are always going back, listening to your shows, and, you know, so you're definitely, people, they tune into you, they hear you. We might not get a lot of people that call in, and maybe they're shy or whatever, don't want to discuss their condition on the air, and that's fine, too. But, you know, there are a lot of people that do listen to you, and, you know, for that, I'm grateful, and your work is definitely, getting out there. So God is good. You, in addition to having the show, I mean, you have a store, and we're going to tell people about how they can get by Secrets of Nature when, you know, by the show's in. We'll tell you how you can get by Coy's shop. And even if you're not in the area, you can still benefit from his wisdom, knowledge, and products, okay, because Coy can ship products to you wherever you are. So even if you're in Tennessee or, you know, Alabama or wherever you are, you could be in China, wherever, if you are able to get to a phone, okay, or maybe even an email, we can get you hooked up with Brother Coy. But tonight we're going to be talking about leukemia. You know, for the longest time, I thought leukemia was something that was like, I don't know, for some reason, I don't know why I wasn't making the connection. I mean, growing up, when I heard the word leukemia, I thought it was like a respiratory thing. I don't know why I thought that, but I thought it was a respiratory thing. But for those who don't know what leukemia is, we're going to be telling you about it tonight. Brother Coy is, again, my special guest, King Coy Dunstan, owner and operator of Secrets of Nature. Well, Brother Coy, just for starters, for those who don't know, and those who may know, may have it, but they don't know the medical breakdown of it. What is leukemia? When the doctor tells a patient that they have leukemia, basically, what is the doctor saying is going on in their body?
Well, it's a problem with the cellular development, basically. And cellular development takes place in the bone marrow. You know, the marrow is the soft tissue inside the bone. You know, when you eat a chicken bone, you break it in half, there's some soft stuff in there that's bone marrow. The bone marrow's function is to produce and develop or give birth to stem cells, which eventually develop into full cells. So the bone marrow is the most important process that the body goes through, because that's where the cells are made. So leukemia is a disease that attack that process. It goes into the bone marrow, so you are not making your cell development is interrupted, because you begin to make more white blood cells than red blood cells, or that balance, you get out of balance with that white blood cell, more white blood cells than red blood cells. And if you don't get it quick enough, or if you don't diagnose it early enough, it can spread to the rest of the body. And I submit that that's probably where most cancers start, and where by the time you get a diagnosis, you have ran into a situation where it's either hard to treat or difficult to control, because you haven't really gone into the bone marrow to stop the development of those, to regulate the development of the cells themselves. So leukemia is in that respect, is a very deadly kind of cancer, because it attacks at the cell level. And we are millions and millions of cells. Our bodies are made up of millions and millions of cells. And if we are producing defective cells, then we got a problem. But in short, that's basically what leukemia is. And we'll talk more about what we can do about it as we go. But leukemia is a disease in the blood. It's a blood disease, because cells live in the blood. They get the food and nutrition from the blood, but it originates in the bone marrow, or it gets into the bone marrow and interferes with the production of cells, so that we become diseased.
You know, it's interesting to me, Brother Coy, even as you're speaking, I'm thinking about just all of the different manifestations of disease. I mean, just even as you were breaking down what leukemia is and how and where it starts in the bone marrow, you know, it's just amazing to me how you have people that could eat the same diet and come up with so many different ailments. You know, you could take a family and, you know, somebody might get leukemia, somebody else might get asthma, somebody else might get gout, somebody else might get high blood pressure. I mean, just from the same diet, you know.
Yeah.
It's just amazing how different expressions of disease manifest just through the food that we eat, and just so many different variations of diseases, you know.
Yeah.
Some attack the cell, some attack the liver, I mean, some attack the lungs, some attack, you know. So when people say, though, that certain things run in their family, for example, when I was doing some research on leukemia, all I kept coming up with, people were saying that the medical establishment, they don't know they don't know what causes it. But you just broke it down.
Yeah.
<You know? laughs>
Well, that was a bird's oversimplification maybe, but that's you got it. See,
right.
You got it, so that you can say you know what leukemia is, right?
Right. But you know, it's so interesting because there's so many different expressions of disease, but then you have somebody who says that there's only one disease, and that's mucus. You know, mucus in the lung is leukemia. Mucus in the joints is arthritis. I mean, mucus somewhere else is something else.
Yeah.
I mean, would you adhere to that position that mucus is the main cause of the ailments in the body? Could it be mucus that causes the cells to malfunction or not form properly?
I would say I would concur with that, but I would go a little further and say that it's really inflammation that you're dealing with. This inflammation attacks throughout the body. Remember, the blood goes throughout the whole body. So wherever it gets clogged up or it sets or settles for a period of time, it can create the kind of problems like leukemia or any other disease that you get. We say it doesn't matter what you call it. It all comes from the same thing, inflammation or improper diet. All of those things contribute to building up that inflammation in the body until we get to a disease state. And if we don't begin to reverse it or clear up that area, it can create even more disease and more sickness in the body. So yeah, it doesn't matter what you call it. It all comes from the same thing. Mucus, inflammation, bad diet, but call it what you want. It doesn't matter. And they call the disease what you want. They all come from the same basic condition, a lack of taking care of the body in a way that you get rid of this inflammation and disease in the body.
Well, from my understanding, again, from researching, they say that people with a family history tend to be at a higher risk of getting leukemia than those without it. Any thoughts on that? Would you contribute that or attribute that to the diet, the same diet running in the family, or would you think that there are other markers that people might be predisposed to certain conditions?
I would concur with that. I would say that the condition itself is just a symptom. We want to go to the place to where the disease itself. We want to go to the cause of the disease itself, and we do that through family history and all that. That's why they take your family history and all that, because generally people in the same family, they do the same things, and if nobody's there, no one is there to identify what it is that could be causing them to all get the same condition, then you repeat that from generation to generation. So the idea is to learn as much as you can about your body, how it functions, what you need to do to keep it healthy, and how to do that, and then begin to apply that in your family so that you can begin to eradicate those things out. But yes, you may if someone in the family has a disease, you may be predisposed to get the same condition because you do the same things. You eat the same thing. You're exposed to the same environmental pollution, which is primarily the cause of they recognize that as a primary cause of leukemia. But the whole idea is that once you get the idea that maybe the family grew up on Coca-Cola, you know, Coca-Cola is probably one of the most deadliest things you can drink. It creates inflammation in the body, and that inflammation flows throughout the body. So if the whole family was Coke drinkers or something, whatever they call it, usually comes from your favorite fruit. Yeah, it's your favorite food or your habit food, all of those things together breaks down the immune system to a place to where it cannot function cannot get to the sales and do what it's supposed to do with the sale and create a good sale, and you wind up, that may be a reason why you get recurring, the same condition recurring in the family. So, yeah, someone in the family should be, and really doctors should be able to do that, but they don't really go to the prevention or the treatment side in terms of changing your lifestyle. They just say, well, you got this, we got this drug, and they give you this drug, and this, they go from one generation to the other dealing with the same disease, with the same dead process, and that causes a lot of the diseases that we have now comes from that process, and it's just that we're not going to the reason why, and there's a lot of reasons why we're not going there, but we don't go to the reason to eliminate the disease. We just treat the symptoms of the conditions, and that's where we separate from the medical profession.
You know, that's so deep that you mentioned that the disease is the symptom, because a lot of people are taught that the disease is the problem.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
Of course, the disease can cause a problem, you know, but there's obviously, that's the symptom of a problem. Well, then, if the disease is the symptom of the problem, then maybe the disease is the wake-up call, you know.
Yes.
And so whereas we oftentimes have been known to blame the devil for this wake-up call,
yeah.
blame the devil
yeah.
for this symptom, when it could be God, okay,
yeah.
trying
giving
to wake
you
up.
Fair warning, yeah.
Attention.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true, and we don't know how to read these things when they happen to us. We don't know what to do, because if you go and tell a person, stop eating meat, then the meat industry is going to come and kill you or shut you down or whatever they do. If you tell a person to stop eating sugar, then the sugar industry is going to come down on you. So they say you have no proof of that, or you can't prove that and all of that. They go into all of that because their mission is to sell you as much sugar or as much meat or as much dairy product as they can. And if you try to interfere with that, the economic interest will always almost win. And they keep us they keep the information from us to be able to make an informed decision in a way that we can actually make a difference make a difference in what we eat or drink or whatever we do to create these diseases. And, you know, a lot of that is on Capitol Hill, right here where I am, about half a mile from me. They make all those decisions. But the underlying motivator in all of this is money. You know, you can't go and shut down the pork industry. That's like the end of the world for them. You can't stop burning oil in your car because we all drive a car. But all of those pollutants and all of the pollution in the meat and all the pollution in the air goes into the body, and it breaks down the cellular function and create diseases. And that's until we get to that, we're going to continue to go around with that, because they don't teach you in school what to do with your body. They don't teach you in school what's best to do. So we go around making the same mistakes over and over again and never getting any better.
Well, you mentioned Coke earlier, so you know, let's know that, let everybody know we're not picking on Coke. I mean, it could be any cola, okay?
or anything that you eat, basically, because most of the stuff that we eat can be carcinogenic in the body. Yeah.
Wow. Well, somebody might say, "Well, I don't drink Coke. I drink Sprite." You know what I mean?
Right.
Acid and all of that, you know, the artificial coloring and all of that stuff is going to have an effect on the body. Correct.
Right. All of that is the sugar leaches minerals out of the bone. That creates a situation that's ripe for leukemia development, because you're interrupting the normal function of the body and making cells when you leach the calcium out of the bone. And that calcium starts, because you're not giving the body the right foods to get the calcium, your body begins to take the calcium from the bone, because that's the best calcium in the body. And we still don't get the idea that we need to do something different if we don't want the body to completely break down. So it's not one particular industry or one particular food. It's a process of understanding what your body needs and how what you are doing is making you sick. So if you're doing anything like meat, dairy, sugar, all of those things, you have to really look at it and begin to do some study on exactly what are you drinking and what are the side effects of these things that you're drinking and what can you do to eradicate or to make a correction in terms of what you put in your body to heal. And that's something we don't spend enough time on. We don't get enough education on. We don't. In fact, we are bombarded every 20 seconds with a McDonald's commercial or some dairy commercial or don't matter what. That's why you have TV so they can feed you all of this information about what they want to sell you. And if they know that if they show you something often enough, you will want it or you will want to go do it or whatever. And that's how the disease process works. And it's a gigantic effort to push back against that because money talks. That's everything operates on money, and if you got the money, you can pretty much sell anything that you want to sell. And that's the problem with the system that we're in now in terms of our health.
Well, let's talk about for a moment the chronic versus acute leukemia. There's a condition, a state of leukemia called chronic, and then there's a state called acute. Can you talk about that?
Well, one is just easier to work with than the other. You may have a better chance of surviving with one as opposed to the other. So I think you chronic is temporary and more temporary. Acute is where it's going into a more deadly state, and you want to make that distinction as soon as possible because you don't want to go from chronic to acute unless you're running into a situation where you waited too late or you haven't done the preventive things that you need to do, and it has progressed to an acute stage. But usually one you can live with, the other one you are on your deathbed if you don't do something pretty quick. And most of us wait until we get to the deathbed before we decide to do something, and then your body is too weak to really respond, and you don't get the result that you would have gotten if you had been a little bit more careful in the beginning or earlier in life. You could have avoided it maybe if you had known what to do, but no one really is connecting the dots in terms of how do you go from having a little bit of urinary tract infection to leukemia or to cancer we don't understand the process of disease, so we keep getting the same diseases and we keep doing the same thing, so we can't do anything to correct it. There's no prevention there because we don't know what to do to prevent it, because everything that we come in contact with is basically something that someone wants to sell us, and they advertise and they convince us that their product is better than someone else's when really neither one of them may have any real benefit in terms of providing the body what it needs to stay or recover or reverse disease.
You know what's interesting too, Brother Coy, is that, you know, when we think about allopathic medicine and the hospitals, it's a wonder that anybody that goes and checks into the hospital makes it out alive. You know,
right about
I mean, when you think about the medicine, the toxicity of the medication that they're getting, not to mention the deadly food that they're serving in the hospital. I mean, even in the hospital, the food that they're serving. I mean, they serve you meat in the hospital. You know, so I mean, when somebody checks in, it's really a wonder if they check out. You agree?
Yeah. Well, I'd agree. Because this whole system, medical system, it feeds on itself, and you get sick and you don't really make any changes. You go to the hospital, you may eat, it may not taste the way it tastes at home, but it's basically the same food, and you are really feeding into the medical industrial complex in terms of going from the doctor to the hospital to the all the treatments that they give you, and then at the end you still die. So what's the point with all of that other than to make someone else rich? And the way most of us as black people, most of us, we are not on the end where the money is made. We are on the end where we are the consumers of all the things that they, all the junk that they want to give us, and we don't connect the dots to what the difference is in eating what that you see on TV and eating something you've grown in your backyard.
Well, Brother Quay, what if somebody's listening to this show and they're really enjoying the information that they're getting, and they've decided that, you know what, I want to try another route. They've been diagnosed, let's say they've been diagnosed with leukemia, and they might have heard of that herbs work. You know, they might have known somebody. But they said, well, I don't know if I should, you know, how do I do this herbal thing? You know, do I just stop taking the allopathic medicine and start taking the herbs, or can I do a combination of both? Would the herbal treatment interfere at all with the medication? And I'm not saying that even if it interfered with it, because, I mean, because it's so toxic, you know, interfering with it might inhibit it, you know, in some kind of good way. So would you suggest that somebody just stop taking the allopathic medicine? Because even if you were to say, well, check with your doctor first, the doctor's going to say, leave that holistic stuff alone. It don't work, you know?
Well, and the only alternative they have right now is stem cell transplant, the stem cells. You know, they go into the bone and they actually put in better cells, correct cells. I mean, that's, I guess that's okay, but I think the whole process here is that if I was just diagnosed with it, I would, for a period of time, you may take the doctor's medication, but I would give myself at least 30 days to actually do everything that I knew to do, and if I didn't know, I would find out what to do about this condition that I have. I would do I would stop eating everything that I eat and introduce things back slowly. I would try to go to a raw live diet because we're a live enzyme organism and we need live enzyme food. And I would continue to study and learn as much as you can about the disease so you know what to expect and how to expect it. I would say that whether or not you can use them together, that's a tricky question. You really need to be under the supervision of somebody to do that, or a practitioner of some kind, because you don't want to take them. The main idea there is you don't want to take your drugs and medication at the same time. I mean, like you take your medications at 6 or 12 and 6. You don't want to take your medication and your herbs at the same time. You want to take the medication. It takes, if you're going to take medication, take it and give it about 2 or 3 hours to actually get into the system and do what the doctor wanted to do, whatever that is. And then you can take the herbs to kind of supplement that, or to give the herbs a chance to do what they need to do. You may want to do that for, you know, a week, couple of weeks, whatever you feel you want to do it. But at some point, you need to make up your mind to go one way or the other. You don't want to do both, because eventually they would cancel out each other. So you want to get to a place to where you want to say, I'm going to do this fasting, and I'm going to do my herbs, and I'm going to do my juicing. I'm going to give it 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, and if I don't get any better, then I can maybe listen to the doctor and what he has to say. But that process of taking both is, I'm not recommending it. You need to make, the sooner you make the decision to do one or the other, the better off you'll be. And that's kind of where I stand with that.
What about fasting and while they're on allopathic medicine? I don't know what the medication is for leukemia, but there might be some that is required that you take with food. You know, they may suggest, you know, don't take this on an empty stomach. You know, so what would be your recommendation for somebody who says, well, look, I want to get off this stuff, and I want to do a fast, I want to do a juice fast, but the doctor said that I can't take the medication, I mean, unless I'm eating?
Well, the whole process with the disease is that you have to understand how your body operates. Like I say, your body is a live enzyme organism. You got to give it live enzyme food. So the first thing I would do is stop eating cooked food, any cooked food, no matter what it is. It's going to be more difficult for the body to digest. But if you do have to eat cooked food, eat the herbs, the grains, nuts, seeds, the things that that are live enzyme organisms. That if you put it in the ground, it'll grow. Try to eat those kind of foods as much as you can. And if you do that, then you should kind of eliminate the need to take the allopathic medicine. But I would say you want to make that transition. You know, if you want to start with the medication that the doctor gives you and integrate the herbs slowly and then go into the herbs totally, that's a way to go. But you need to probably have some kind of guidance when you do that so that you make sure you stay on track and identify any problems that may come out of that. But the consideration there is when you decide to go with the herbs after you start with the allopathic medicine or just going straight into the herbs, you may not feel like you're getting better at first because your body has to go through the process of rejuvenating itself and pushing out all that disease. So you may be really, you know, wiped out for a couple of days or a week. But if you know what to do about that, you can reduce that, the effects of the detox on the body. You can reduce the effects by doing the enemas, integrating the juicing, staying with the raw foods, that kind of thing, would help you reduce the body's exposure to more disease, and it would begin to push out the old disease, and you would begin to rejuvenate and rebuild whatever your body needs, your bone marrow, your kidney, your liver, whatever's affected. You begin to rejuvenate that, and you give your body a chance to rest instead of trying to process all of this garbage that you dump in it. So that's your best chance out. But you may have to go through a little rough period, but if you know what to do, you can get through that without too much problem, and then in 2 or 3 days to a week, you should feel a lot better, and you should be on the upside of any condition, assuming you catch it early enough and you know what to do when you have to make that transition.
Now I think would be a good place to talk about just the importance of having access to somebody that knows what they're doing. If you've never done this before, if you're not, say, vegan already or vegetarian already, if you're not on the holistic health path and you come down with something and somebody, let's say you're hearing this show because somebody told you to listen in because you might have a condition, and you decide that this information makes sense to you and that you want to follow this holistic path. You don't want to take the medication. It makes sense to you. It clicks. You got it. The light went off. You got it. But you've never done it before. And Coy mentioned that you need to be under the supervision of somebody, being monitored by somebody that knows what they're doing, you know, because you can be excited and be like, yeah, I'm going to go out here and I'm going to fast and I'm going to juice and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, but you've never done it before, you know. You don't know how much to juice, what juice is to juice, you know what I mean? Any of that. How important is it, Brother Coy, to have that, I mean, especially when you've got a disease that can be deadly, I mean, especially any cancer, you know, or anything that can be considered deadly, it's very important to be connected with somebody that knows what they're doing and has done it before. Would you agree?
I would agree. It's always two is better than one, and you don't want to really do anything by yourself, but you have to be careful who you choose because sometimes they may not be your best advice. They may not give you the best advice. for a number of reasons, but you do want to get with someone that's been in the industry and has done something to show you that they can that you can trust them. And once you get past that, then you have to just give up to them and let them guide you through it. The problem with most people, we have no concept of, you know, following directions. You may give them a perfectly good herb that's effective, but they may mix it with something that really takes away the effectiveness of the herb. So you're not getting the real effect of what you want. So when I say no dairy, no sugar, no meat, that's what that means. So you got to drop all the things that you ever thought you liked. You got to drop it, and you got to begin to reformulate your diet in a way that if you want something sweet, then you juice some oranges or juice some ginger and lemon or whatever you want to juice, and you drink that instead of going to get a soda or going to get that cookie that you like. So those little things you have to watch for, and you may not be conscious of that in your own mind if you don't have someone to say, hey, you can't do that right now. You got to wait till you get a little better before you go back to drinking the coffee or whatever you do, and give your body time to heal. So, yes, it's important for no other reason just to have someone around to kind of keep you on track, because we tend to stray a lot. And it's unconscious, I think, sometimes, but we just don't have the understanding that this is real, and you can't be doing all of these things that you've been doing, because that's what got you sick in the first place. So we got to create a whole new way for you to live in order to get better.
And at some point in the process of making the transition, all of the excuses have got to go out of the window. If you're going to do it, you have to choose. Like Corey, you're going to have to choose, am I going to do this or am I not? But this continuous, I'll start tomorrow. you know, tomorrow keep coming, and before you know it, it's tomorrow's next week, and then it's next month.
Yeah.
And before you know it, you know, the funeral's next week.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You got to.
Oh, you get on the path.
Make up your mind,
you
right?
That, yeah, you get on the path of doing it. You do it for a couple of days, and then you say, oh, I can go back and have me a cookie or drink me a soda. That won't hurt me. And we just don't understand the detrimental effects of these things on the healing of the body. So you got to give your body a good chance to heal, the best chance that you can, and stick with it.
Well, for somebody that's got leukemia, would there be any particular nutrients or even fruit or diet? You know, if somebody said, I want a juice, you know, there are certain fruits that are higher in this than that, you know, certain vegetables that are higher in vitamin C or A or whatever. What if somebody came to you and said that they had leukemia, what if you were to put them on a regimen, what would be just certain things that you would, we know what you would cut out. We know what you would cut out. We know there'd be no meat, no dairy, no sugar. But
right,
what would
you
add in? And what would be some of the things that you knew they would have to have?
I think when we get into naming specific herbs, I think that's kind of, you know, not that important. I think if you take any herb that grows out of the ground and you juice it, or even if you have to steam it a little bit and eat it, if you do that, you're going to get some benefit from it. So the problem is going to be is finding the right herbs. You can go to a supermarket, you can get a lot of vegetables, green leafy vegetables, but vegetables are not a complete food in a way that it can really heal the body of diseases. But if you have to start with something, you can go to your supermarket, go around the edges where the green leafy vegetables are, pick up the most of them. Most of the vegetables there, you can go by color or whatever you want to do in terms of picking from that the vegetable section, and get yourself a good juicer, a blender, and a food processor, and you take those things home just the way you bought them from the store. You might want to wash them or rinse them or whatever you need to do to clean them, and just put them in the juice and let them juice. Turn them into juice and start drinking it. I wouldn't specifically say that one herb or one plant is better than another. All the herbs are good, and they will all do basically the same thing. You just have to get to the place to where you take them. Start from A and go to Z and just take them one at a time and just start taking them. And you will find that the things that your body needs to start healing will be there for you. It will just automatically be in the food. It's really not that complicated, but you got to stay with basically a plant-based diet. You can juice it. Even if you have to, you can cook some if you want to. If you rather have something cooked, as long as it's in the plant family, I would say you can cook it and still get benefit from it. And you want to get a supplement maybe that might be formulated for your particular condition in terms of an herb. You got the moringas, you got the pardaco, you got the vitamin C. I still think the vitamin C should be a part from the beginning. That's the first thing you should do because it's the best fighter we have for inflammation in the body. And continue to add more herbs and other herbs until you flush your body as much as you can with the inflammation. And you'll find that you'll begin to heal. Your body will heal. You'll feel better. You have more energy, and you're on the right track with that. So don't get hung up so much into the name of what you call it. As long as from the plant kingdom, and I would say herbs are better than vegetables. I would try to stay with herbs or natural vegetables as much as you can. And then just the supplements, you can get them in a powder. The herbs, a lot of them you can get in a powder. You can get in a pill. You can get whatever is easier for you to deal with. Get those herbs on your counter and just start, living with that. And drink a good clean water. Get you some good clean water. If you know your tap water is okay, that's fine. But if not, you're almost forced to get a bottle of water. But try to stay with, you can start with a distilled water just because it helps the body flush. But go to a good spring water. Even a bottle of spring water or an alkaline water would be the hydration that will help your body assimilate and flush, help the herbs flush through the body and get the disease out. You might want to go into learning about enemas when you into the fasting side of it. And I would say anyone that has a terminal or a serious disease, go through a fasting process, but you have to get your body ready. That's why you do the juicing and the herbs up front, and you work yourself when you say, I'm strong enough and I got the willpower and I want to do this. I got my enema bags, I got my Bible, I got all these things that I need, and I'm going to isolate myself and I'm going to fast and rest for whatever time it takes to heal your body. You gotta be prepared to go that far. And if you can do that, I think just keep every time you find an herb, just add it in, or every time you find a supplement that you think will help you, and you can add that in. There's no restrictions on any of them. It's all about giving the body what it needs, and oftentimes we overlook the main one, that sea vegetation that has most everything that the body needs in it.
So there's no restriction when it comes to leukemia. Like, for example, somebody that has diabetes, you have to be careful if you're going to be juicing a bunch of fruit because of
right,
the sugar.
Yeah.
With leukemia, there's no such concern like that?
Well, you always want to be mindful that the sugar in whatever form can create candida or yeast, which is a mucus. So you want to say, if you're going to do a fruit, you want to do the green apples. You want to do the citrus fruit maybe. But you want to be, again, aware that you want to keep the sugar that you put in your body, you want to keep it down. But the sugar, if you have to have some sugar, that's a better sugar than eating a candy bar or the cakes and all the other stuff that you buy in a supermarket. You want to stay with the with the foods that the sugar naturally that contains sugar naturally. I mean, like the apple, the green apple, the beets, the oranges, things with seeds in it, grapes, anything with seeds, you could do that. But again, you want to balance that with the green leafy vegetables. You want to stay with the green leafy vegetables more so than the fruit until you're certain that your body can process this fruit and get it out. But fruit is a good way to flush. It will help your body flush, and it will aid in the healing process if you stay with the fruit with the seeds in it.
You specified the green apple. Is there why the green over the red? Because most people would say an apple is an apple. You know, why the green and not the red?
Well, the red apple is primarily it's the kind of sugar in the red apple that will contribute to the development of yeast and candida and all of that mucus that we get in the body. So it will oxidize. In other words, it'll go in your body and it will create the inflammation. So the green apple is one of the only apples that you can drink and not have to worry about creating the byproduct of that sugar, the candida, the yeast, and all of that. You don't want to, because usually if you got cancer, you got yeast too. So you don't want to feed it something that's going to feed that cancer. The green apple you can do, and you don't have to worry too much about the sugar content turning into yeast or candida or whatever. And it'll also help flush out the candida or yeast that's there.
Interesting. See, everybody, aren't you glad you tuned in? You learn something new every day. Lastly, Brother Coy, let's talk about the cooked food. You mentioned that if somebody came to you, would tell them immediately, stop with the cooked food. Now, and why is that? I mean, when you cook foods, my understanding is that when you put the flame to the food, that whatever nutrients are in the food are going to dissipate. But there's a certain level or a certain degree or temperature that you can cook the food up to and still be safe, and still the whatever it is that you're cooking will still maintain its nutrients. And we're not talking about cooking meat. We're not talking about frying it to a particular temperature.
Right.
We're not talking about that.
Yeah, but that
steaming, in that
steaming,
sort of thing.
Yeah, steaming you can do, but the idea behind the cooking is that if you have a real alkaline natural food, it really won't matter too much whether you cook it or eat it raw, because you will get some benefit from it. But if you are doing a hybrid, which is a lot of the foods that we eat. If you cook it, like even you take a collard, if you cook it too much, you cook all the nutrition out. And we eat the green and throw the pot liquor, you know, the juice that comes off of the green, we throw that away. But it should be just the opposite. If you're going to cook the greens, drink the pot liquor because that's where all your nutrition is, and maybe do something else with the green leafy vegetable itself. So the cooking primarily... we say that we are live enzyme organisms. I said that earlier, and we need live enzyme food. And when you cook it, you kill the enzymes, and those enzymes you need to help break the food down, and it goes into it becomes a food that your body can't get anything out of. So it just becomes more of a burden for the body to try to push this food too, if you overcook it, because there's no life in it. And then most of the time we overcook our food anyway. So that's why I say initially when you're trying to heal yourself, stay away from cooked food. Eventually you may be able to bring it back in, but understanding why is the more important. And we're a live enzyme organism. We need live enzyme food, and the less you cook it, the better it's going to be for you. If you cook it, you're going to reduce some of the benefit of the food itself, and may even lose most of the nutrition if you cooking the wrong food or eating the wrong cooked food. You're gonna run into a problem with creating again that mucus and the candida and the yeast that really creates and accompany a lot of these diseases that we get.
Brother Coy, in the last remaining moments, I want to tell people, of course, how they can get in contact with you. But anybody that's making the transition from a vegetarian or a meat-eating diet to a vegetarian, vegan, live it, then they're going to be people in your circle that you're in now. If you're in a circle, let's say you run in a circle and everybody in your circle eats meat, and you decide that after hearing a show like this that, you know, you're going to consider becoming a vegetarian or vegan. You've heard the information. It makes sense to you. You've done some research. You've looked at some statistics. You found out that vegetarians and vegans live longer than meat eaters. You've discovered that the vegetarians that you know seem to be healthy, and you say, you know what, it makes sense. I think I'm gonna try it. How important is, and this is a rhetorical question, Brother Coy, but somebody needs to hear it, is how important is it to surround yourself with other people of like minds? Because somebody that's a meat eater, and I'm not knocking meat eaters because I've eaten meat, okay? I don't now, but I'm saying I'm not putting them down. It's just everybody's where they are, okay? But I'm saying how important is it to surround yourself with other people who think like you, who have also adopted your new way of life, so that you can get encouragement? Because a meat eater, well, I'll put it this way. When I made the transition from eating meat to becoming a vegan, no meat eater encouraged me. You know what I'm saying? Right. Nobody that ate meat encouraged me to do that, you know what I mean? I didn't get support from meat eater. You know, I got support from the vegans, you know? So how important is it to surround yourself with other people who think like you?
Well, it's very important. I think it's hard to go in the same directions if you have different ways of getting there. That won't work. You can't say I'm not going to eat meat. I'm going to stop drinking. I'm going to stop smoking, and then spend your time in the bar. You can't. That's counterproductive. Now, some people may be able to do that, but that's I wouldn't recommend that, particularly if you're just making the transition. You want to be around someone that say, well, you know, when I went through this, this happened to me, and this is what I did, and it worked for me. So you want the encouragement from people that have kind of gone through this with you. And I see that today. The millennials are catching on pretty quick, and there's some excellent videos out now, For Your Health, I think that's the name of it, YouTube For Your Health. They go into the meat industry and how they manipulate the whole economy by what they do, and people
forks
are beginning
over
to realize forks over knives, all of those things kind of educate people and give them the confidence and the reinforcement and a good reason why they need to make this change. And I see it happening, and the millennials seem to be catching on a lot quicker, a lot better and than I've seen in the past. I mean, almost every day someone is coming in and saying, I've decided to be a vegetarian, and I'm just looking around and trying to see what to do. And, you know, that's how they come. And it's I see more and more of that every day. So we're making a difference. It's just that they have to have the fortitude and the discipline to stay with it. And even learning how to cook for themselves might be a way to occupy their time instead of being out there, you know, drinking or smoking or whatever they do. Learning how to cook and how to feed yourself would be a good hobby or a good way to make a difference in terms of helping yourself. But even at that, you still need people around you to show you how to do that and what to do. So I would encourage everyone that if you can form a group or get your partner or whoever you live with to go along with you, it would make it a lot easier, and you would have that support staff. It's much better when you're together than trying to do things separately, because if you both are, if the family is, if you can't take the family along, then you have to be an example, and hopefully somewhere along the line they'll get the idea and they'll say, well, okay, I'm going to do it too. So that's the idea, being an example, and also making a change in front of them can make a difference. But most people, they will have some support. Or if you don't have any support at home, try to get some support from some practitioner or from someone outside that can guide you through the process in a way that makes sense to you. And if you say you're not going to do anything from an animal, you got to stay with that. And sometimes finding something to eat can be difficult. So it's important that you learn how to prepare food for yourself so that you don't have to, sit around waiting or trying to figure out what you're going to eat all the time. So you got to, it's a whole effort, and it takes as many people as you can to pull it together and as many brains as you can to make it work so that it doesn't become something that you say, oh, this stuff don't work, and I'm going back to doing what I'm doing, because that's not going to work either.
You know, there's another documentary called What the Health, and H-E-A-L-T-H, Health.
Yeah.
What the Health, and actually Dr. Ruby Lathan is in that.
Yeah, it was in that.
So
yeah.
If you, What the Health, that's another place to start, another documentary you can look at. And get some more information. And the more information you get, the better. I mean, you can listen to a show like this, and I encourage you. That's why we do this show, to give you information so that you can, learn and grow and hear information that can actually save your life, change your life, and most importantly, save your life. And we have an archives where Brother Coy is all through the archives. I mean, we've done shows on leukemia, as you know, today's show, arthritis, diabetes, high blood pressure, breast cancer, colon cancer, gout, I mean, lupus, I mean, whatever. You just have to scroll through the archives and find that show and click it. You're never too old to change. That's another one. I mean, what you eating for the holidays? I mean, just scroll through the archives. You'll see shows with King Coy Dustin. Make sure that you click there. Give him a call. Listen. Learn, grow, and share the links that you share, that you listen to. Share those with other people, because everybody knows somebody that's sick, okay? Everybody knows somebody that's got cancer, okay? So I just want to encourage everybody to give Brother Coy a call. Please, Brother Coy, can you tell him about your establishment? He established Secrets of Nature. I mean, after you heard the testimony about his mother, he went out and had aspirations of becoming a lawyer, and God just said, nah, I want you to go down this route, okay?
Yeah.
And so he's been doing this ever since for the last 30-some years. And he established his own, this is not his first establishment. He's had several entrepreneurial ventures. This is Secrets of Nature, where if you, after hearing all of this, say, well, okay, where do I go get these herbs? I heard you talk about herbs. Where do I get them? You know, get them from Brother Coy. Okay,
that's what I do. But we're located at 3923 South Capitol Street Southwest in Washington, D.C., 20032, telephone 202-562-0041. And we think we have probably the best selection of bulk herbs. That's the way the dried herbs you see in a jar or a bucket or something. We have herbs that way. We have herbs that have been packaged and labeled that have been put out by different companies. We have alternative foods that you can help you make a decision about what to eat. We do a raw. We got a little raw selection of food. And we try to have some juices and drinks that will assist you in your transition. And the kitchen is completely vegetarian or vegan. And we try to make the food taste like something so you come back. And so far we've been pretty successful at that. And we invite everybody to come by and see what we do and how we do it. And just sit around and talk. Get acquainted with the people that comes in and see if you get some encouragement from communication. So, we have a full service, I think, health food store and restaurant, and we try to do and provide wholesome foods and nutritional counseling and preventive health education to all that want to hear or listen. So, that's why I'm here. So if you can, if you want to, if you wish to, come by, stop by 3923 South Capitol Street Southwest, or you can call 202-562-0041. If you don't get an answer, just leave a message and we'll get back to you. And be glad to talk to anyone about any wherever they want to start or wherever they are in their move to be healthy, be glad to talk with them and give them as much encouragement as I can and provide whatever they need to make that transition in a way that is beneficial to them. So that's what we do, and that's how we do it.
And that's in D.C., Washington, D.C.
Washington, D.C., 20032.
Again, everybody, that's, write this number down. You need to stick it on your refrigerator so you're reminded. Every time you go in there to get something, you need to see this number first. You might say, oh, shoot, I got to
yeah.
throw this stuff out. The number 202. Coy's watching. 202-562-0041. Again, learn it by heart. 202-562-0041. Brother Coy, you've done an awesome job, awesome interview, brother. Anything concerning leukemia that we didn't touch on, that you, any closing remarks that you want to add, anything that you want to add about leukemia or any closing remarks regarding it?
Well, I would say, like with any disease, if you go to the doctor and they tell you you got a disease, don't panic. Get a hold of yourself, take a deep breath, think about what's going on and what you can do different. And begin to make those changes in your life that you need to make. If you don't know what to do, talk to someone. They can give you some kind of information about things that you can do and how to do them. And begin to don't take it as a death threat. In other words, you don't give up before you even get started. Once you find out, as soon as you can, start making these changes and do what you can to help yourself as much as you can before you commit yourself to the doctor in a way that there's no return. That would be my advice to anyone with any disease, particularly leukemia, since it's such a deadly one. But understanding the body and how it works would also be a great benefit in terms of dealing with any condition that you are faced with.
And again, wherever you are, if you're listening to this show and you're not in the D.C. area, Brother Coy does ship products, okay? So don't let that discourage you. Like when you heard the address, you're like, oh, dang, he's in D.C. So that doesn't matter. I mean, you could be in China. You could be wherever. As long as you're on this planet, I guess you don't ship outside the planet, do you, bro? Of course, somebody's out.
Not yet. We haven't gotten that advanced, but we... If somebody call me, I'll see what I can do.
Well, everybody, look, it don't matter where you are, okay, you can get your products from Brother Coy. Just give him a call. Let him know what it is that you want. And by all means, if you get a bad report from a doctor, give Brother Coy a call, okay? You need a second opinion, okay? You definitely need a second opinion. So definitely do that. Brother Coy, thank you again, my brother. You're giving us a little extra time tonight. I certainly appreciate all that you do. And for you've been doing it for all these many years, man, decades you've been on this path. Everybody, you're not listening to somebody that's just got started in this. There are a lot of people that just got started in this, and they're the experts, right? But don't have a track. Make sure you're listening to somebody that's got a track record. You know, Coy cured his mother. I'm going to say it again for those just tuning in. Cured his mother of cancer in both of her breasts, her liver and her colon. Now, for those who get real picky and say, well, God healed her. Yes, of course, God healed her, but God gave Coy the wisdom, told Coy what to do, okay, and he listened, okay?
Yeah.
And if you listen, okay, then you can have the same testimony that Brother Coy had, okay? His mother listened, okay, and that's why... He was able. That's why Coy's here, and we're having this discussion today. The question is, will you listen? Okay.
Yeah.
So I invite you to give Brother Coy a call, 202-562-0041, and when he gives his recommendations, listen. Then go pray. Once you pray, I guarantee you, you're gonna come back. Okay.
Yeah.
So. Everybody, this my special guest today, again, is a regular Brother Coy Dunston. Scroll down the archives. That's why we do this show, because if you're just making a transition, you need all the information that you can get. That's why we do this show, so that you have a place to go, okay? So when you get weak, okay? You need to surround yourself with people that are talking about holistic health. So if you don't have friends that are talking about it, you got a whole archives full of friends that are talking about it on Juwanza for Life. Just scroll down the archives, and there'll be a show that you can listen to that will encourage you, inspire you, and give you the strength that you need if you ever feel like you're getting weak. Brother Coy, thank you so much again, my brother. Great show. Awesome, awesome interview, my brother. And again, for all of the work that you do, I applaud you, sir. There needs to be a statue built in D.C. of you. You know, they need to have you sitting up there, down there on the mall.
Well, I appreciate what you do, too, because without you, they couldn't hear me. So you are very instrumental in all of this, and I pray you keep up what you do and be blessed in what you do. And
Thank you. Maybe one day we'll have a TV show. Amen. All right. You never know. We'll put it out there. Let's see what happens.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Until the next time, brother, thank you so much. Peace and blessings, sir.
I appreciate you, sir. Good night to you and your audience. Have a peaceful day.
Thank you.
Hey, bye-bye.
Everybody, that's King Coy Dunston, owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. Give him a call, 202-562-0041. Again, that's 202-562-0041. Everybody, I just want to say thank you again. You know, I know it's not easy. If you've ever gone to the doctor and the doctor's told you that you've got this or you've got that, you know, the first thing you want to do is not believe it. Like, I know he didn't say what I just thought he said. Okay, well, there are such things as misdiagnosis. Okay, people, doctors do get it wrong. And even if they get it right, sometimes the treatment options that they suggest are wrong. Okay, so this is just an invitation. Just scroll down the archives. Okay, this is that place. This show was created to be that place that you come to. If you're making the transition or you've already made the transition, sometimes when you make the transition to a holistic lifestyle, sometimes it can be hard to find people to talk to. You ever been there? You've tried to talk to somebody about holistic health and your old friends, well, I'm not saying they're your old friends, your friends, they're not on that level. They're not there yet. And they don't really want to talk about, you know, holistic health. They don't want to talk about juicing and fasting and, you know, all of that, enemas and that sort of stuff. They don't want to talk about that. You ever been there? You've adopted a new lifestyle and you want to talk about it. You want to share about it. You want to listen to shows on it. That's why this show has been created for you. Okay, whether it's spirituality, whether it's your eating patterns, you know, that's why this show was created, to have some place to go, to listen, to grow, to learn. So I invite you to just, again, as I always say, just take a stroll down the archives. Just did an awesome show yesterday with Dr. Orwa Hayemetoran Comet. We talked about the law of Ma'at. You're into spirituality? Oh, my God. You need to check that show out. Okay, starts with a little dead air. Messed around and forgot to unmute the phone. But, hey, just give it a few minutes and the show will come on. And tomorrow, got an awesome show. Make sure you tune in. 10:30 in the morning. My special guest is going to be Orwa Amtahudi Kamo. We're going to be talking about the science of comedic spirituality. Okay? Don't miss that show. 10:30 in the morning, Thursday, August 26th, all right? Be there. So again, everybody that have been with me a long time, or if you just joined in, thank you so much. Welcome, welcome, welcome. So good to have you. Please share the link. 99 followers, okay? 99 people have decided that they like this show enough to, they want to hear every time that we're doing a show, all right? Now, but what's interesting about that, we might have 99 followers, but have hundreds of listeners to the show, right? If everyone that listened followed, it's either that everyone that listened didn't follow, or you have people that are re-listening. And I believe a lot of that is going on too. But anyway, because I'll go on, because I like talking about holistic health, okay? I love talking about holistic health. I love talking about spirituality and interviewing guests that know what they're talking about. Interviewing life changers, life savers. Oh, what an awesome thing. So, thank you so much for your time. My name's Tawanza. Who am I? I'm the one who, in giving, you already know it, receives more. Who are you?